Hello and welcome to PCP. It's me, Pete Kogle, and it's PCP 600. Yes, I finally made it to this particular milestone, and doing something rather different today. First of all, this is a two-part podcast, so the second part will come out next week. The first part is what I'm referring to as Music and Mumblings, taking the old title from my old mate Paul Snelling's website. Don't forget, don't get Clitheroe in here muddled up. Paul Snelling used to have a also known as the Grumbler, of course. Always used to have a podcast called Musical Mumblings, and he did a lot of good stuff, talking in between the tracks. And I don't do that much of that, but I do the occasional interview. So what I'm going to do with PCP 600 is introduce you to some of the bands I've interviewed over the years, play a little bit of their music, and have a little bit of a chat with them. Let's begin with way back in April 2006, just shortly after I started. I met up with a band called The Wanted, not the boy band that we have today, but a band that was friends of the Arctic Monkeys and who else? Lots of other bands in the Sheffield area. Reverend and the Makers was another one of theirs, and they were a band. They were a five-piece, sounded a bit like Oasis, and sort of played music a bit like Oasis. Don't think they were together anymore. They just did it for the fun and the enjoyment. And, let's go and have a listen to them.
In the first place I actually found your music was on myspace.com, which, of course, is where lots of people put their music these days, in MP3 format.
Yeah,
I noticed that you've been putting up lots of demos and even some of your rehearsal pieces on the web. So I'm sort of curious as to what sort of people make of that. What do the fans say? Do you get some sort of feedback and criticism, and is that helpful to you, really?
I think it is, to be honest. I think without internet, it's just a much harder business to get into music. I mean, respect to all bands that did it before internet, because it must have been so hard to get music out there, and so costly as well, I think. Feedback we get from his music is just absolutely amazing. We couldn't have asked for any more, to be honest. I mean, we only started a band for his own pleasure, really, and it's just gone really, really well ever since.
Marvellous stuff. That was The Wanted, not the boy band, but the band from Sheffield. Sometime in April 2006, I had a chat with them, and that was their track Silhouette Sunshine. Rather good, it was too. Now, it took me quite a while to get to the next interview, or the next meaningful interview, and that was with a band who I'd been following for quite a while. They were coming down from Scotland to London, to Lewisham, and they were playing a gig, and I just couldn't resist going out to see them. And we ended up going into central London, then coming out again, having had a few beers. And I recorded this on the train on the way home, and it still goes down as one of my most most enjoyable interviews. They were absolutely hilarious, totally pissed, and great fun. This is the Den Collective.
You haven't really explained why we're here, have you, mate?
I don't really know why we're here. I'm totally the wrong person to ask about this. It's like,
shall I ask somebody else then?
I think you should, maybe. Right, yeah. Right.
We're a fucking life.
You can say fuck on a podcast.
Oh, right, excellent.
You can swear on a podcast!
Yes! We're a fucking liability, basically.
As you already know, Pete.
As you probably learnt from the last few hours. No, we're just a bunch of good time girls that like. Nothing better than a drink. A drink and a big man. Mixed with good times and music equals good fun. That's the equation for the night.
Right. How long have we got? We've got an hour and a half before you go on stage. Have you got a sort of warm up routine that you go through normally?
Well, when you said, what tune do you suggest, Michael? And he said, get by. I was ready to bust into song, but these guys didn't even have a guitar.
We didn't have a guitar. Well, I mean, we don't. This is.
Can you play the newspaper?
basically, Pete, it's like a case of just being Scottish, really. Drinking as much as possible and being a stereotype. That's our preparation.
Buckfast tonic wine, it's one of our favourite things.
That's basically.
And it's not because it gets you drunk, it's the cultural influence. Inferences?
Well, it's because it's the closest thing we've got to Ribena. I'm really surprised they didn't put us on first in the first place, because we don't actually have a drummer with us.
or a bassist,
which
is often a problem.
A bit unorthodox, I would say. You know.
Well, it wouldn't be quite as unorthodox as just having a drummer and a bassist.
That would be drum and bass.
That would be drum and bass.
Don't hide it from me. And now
That was the Dane Collective with a track called Get By. And before that, we heard the fairly raucous interview I had with them on the train to the gig at Lewisham. That was from October 2007. You can still find the Dane Collective on MySpace. You know, still MySpace is still around. Although there was some talk recently of removing some of the old MySpace stuff. Rather good. So they're still there. MySpace.com/the Dane Collective. Sadly, the Wanted from the first track are not available anymore. I couldn't find them anywhere. But that's a bit of a shame. Right, from October 2007, we now move on to June 2008, and myself and Rowley met up with a band called The Pocket Gods. They were having an album launch. We'll find out more about them and the album launch now.
So, you say you're new to the band, so what do you bring to the band that's different?
Tits.
More tits.
Tits. There's now two sets of tits.
Oh, dear. Sorry, not swearing.
I'm going to have to put explicit on my cup of
breasts and glitter.
Memory glands.
We're all grown up here. That's why it's PG, you know, parental guidance. Not for the under 10s here. Anyway, okay. Next question, please, my good man.
I'm going to say, so here we are at your record launch. What are you... I've never been to a record launch before. This is my first time. I am a record launch virgin.
It's us as well.
Oh, well, what are you hoping to get out of today?
A spread love, really, and the album. We're going to fling one off the stage and actually launch one into the crowd.
Okay. That is the album launch.
Oh, I see. Actually, we're actually going to launch an album into the crowd. Well, Very good idea.
We had to take insurance out in case we take anyone's eye out with that.
All I found was at sea.
the marvellous, marvellous Pocket Gods in what I think was their best incarnation. Four-piece band. That was recorded in June 2008, and the track was Perfect Blue. Perfect Blue by the Pocket Gods. Can we now find it? Nub Music. Nub Music UK. NUBMUSIC UK.com. Excellent stuff. Moving on to 2009 now. Quite a few interviews in 2009. Obviously got more into the spirit of it. The first of which was a very cold, dark night outside what was then called Audio, which is now called Patterns in Brighton. And I was meeting up with Sky Larkin.
So I'm sat outside in the freezing cold with Sky Larkin. How are you doing?
Cold but good.
Cold but good. So you've just been to, was it Resident Records? And done a
install.
How was that?
It was wicked. It was the first like acoustic install that we've ever done. And we were sat on the desk in the record shop.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah,
it's strange. Cool. Well, the first time I saw you was Leeds Festival 2006. Uh-huh. So things have changed a little bit since then. So how's it feel now? Is it very different?
Well, it's just, I mean, today in Residence Records was the first time that we actually saw our album because we hadn't seen the CDs, the physical CDs. So, yeah, because now we have a kind of document of something to give people.
Like quite a buzz having the actual physical thing in your hands.
Yeah, definitely.
It was quite hard to realise, though, because obviously a lot's happened. It's all happened so organically and naturally and progressively that over the last couple of years that it was a bit strange, like, oh, we're here.
It's there.
We've got an actual album. We can show to people that people can touch. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't quite reached, like, I've seen it now. It just doesn't... I'll probably realise about
that. It's good that you've actually got this far, because I mean, I think it's taken you know, a long time, but it's been very good. Because I mean, the first time I saw your name mentioned and I sort of played you, it was Los Campesinos on the bill as well, and of course Los Camps have done well.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, do you see each other very often? Are you still play together?
Yeah, I mean, we did a tour with him around Europe in November, and we've had like from Wichita Christmas parties and stuff like that. We've had the chance to hang out with them a bit more, and it's really nice to have friends that you've sort of been in. Friends with for a long time.
So how did you first get together with them?
Well, they did some their sort of first ever gigs outside Cardiff, which was they did like one in London and one in Bradford, and just the promoter that put them on in Bradford had heard of us somehow and put us together on the bill with them, and then we met there and then
been friends ever since.
You're
both on Wichita, aren't you?
But this was before either of us.
So was that connection, was that what got you to Wichita because of them, or was it just a different thing altogether?
I'd sent them I'd completely forgotten about this, but I like the first sort of demos that we had ever done I'd sent to Wichita, just like every other person that you know wants to be on Wichita I'd sent, and I'd completely forgotten about those, and I think our manager was sort of trying to claim a link. Like, I'm actually going to try to claim a link towards Wichita, and then Mark just went, no, she sent us a demo, and like, whenever. I was like, I completely forgot about that, but yeah. So, send your demos in, everyone. Send your demos in.
Break up the children, put them to bed, inform the services what is declared. If I gave you your country back, then we could see we could go far enough in our machine. Fast enough in our machine. Yeah.
Skylark in there and their track Molten. You can still find them at weareskylarkin.bandcamp.com, although I do think the band is now disbanded. That was recorded in January 2009, just as their first album was coming out. And I rather enjoyed them. They've always been a good fun. And one of the first bands I saw live that I really wanted to sort of get on the show, as it were. But there you go. Right, move on to a little bit later in 2009, but still 2009. We met up with the Secret Archives of the Vatican. Oh, yes, we did.
Tell us a bit more about how you do what you do, because, I mean, I know you two are both local, but the other two are far away. How do you do what you do?
Yeah, it depends. We haven't got a straight way of working. They do different things for different... projects. The last tune I did that we got, say, vocals on from Pete, who's in Aberystwyth a couple hundred miles away, I worked up a basic track and then sent him an MP3 and said, can we have some vocals for that, please? And then nagged him for a little while longer and then got back a vocal take because he's got his own kit. When we did Dogs of War for the last album, Pete wrote that track as a reggae track. We were going to do a remix of it, and we started doing a remix of it, and Pete said, well, look, he liked what we did, why don't we just do it as a Secret Archives tune? So we did it as a Secret Archives tune.
I'm assuming you know each other so well, you know how each other would react, and so you get a mental image of each other sort of looking at each other as virtually as it were, sort of thinking, oh, if I do this, he's going to do this. Is that how it works, or is it more...
It's way less organised.
Is it?
Just a bit. There are songs that, say, one of us writes 90% of, and one of the others will throw in some ideas. And then occasionally, you know, there'll be tunes that probably Louis and myself will sit down together and we'll work 50-50 on. There's the tunes we mentioned where, say, Pete's written a song in Wales and we just take it and redo it our way. They're all different. Thank you.
Some very early work there from the Babylon Halt album by Secret Archives of the Vatican. The track was called Ganawa of Power. You can find them at secretarchivesofthevatican.bandcamp.com and, of course, Broken Drum Records. That was recorded in April 2009 when Vince and Louis were out. Possibly the first time we ever met, I think it might have been. Yeah, rather good it was too. And then after that, later in April, I was on the phone, this time to New York, to a certain man called Syed.
Now, I'm very pleased to have on the line Mr. Syed Druglord himself. Hello there.
Hey, Pete, what's up?
It's good to hear you, man. I tell you, it's very good to hear you.
Definitely, likewise, for sure.
So you've been putting this album together, well, what, 3 years, 4 years, how long?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It was kind of envisioned about 4 years ago, and then there were actually multiple versions of it. So, I kept putting it together and then wanting to release it, and then I listened to it like 100 times, and I'd decide, no, it's not good, and then I'd add another song and then change the sequence. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
I have to say, I've heard no other artists like you on what you do, which is kind of unique, really.
Yeah, no, I take that as a great compliment, Pete. Thanks. I've had some nasty emails about that, actually, about why you've got some from some dub fanatics who say, I looked you up from dub and I listened to you and you're not dub at all, man.
What were your musical influences?
I mean, I can't lie. My favorite band of all time is the Stone Roses, and I'm probably not unique for this, but, you know, they're the ones who actually made me stand up and listen to music with sort of a critical but optimistic eye, or ear, I should say. And I think, you know, there's like multiple folds, I suppose, and there's the whole indie thing surrounding the Stone Roses and all, you know, a lot of those early 90s bands like Ride and even early Oasis. You know, Oasis made me want to play guitar, and then Verve and whatnot. Moose is one of my favorites, and then there's like a whole other side of that. This recent side is lately like the dub and electronic stuff that I got into less in around like 2000. I was listening to a lot of weird stuff in 2000, like electro clash stuff and, you know, dance music, and then kind of just felt that I wanted something a little darker, but a combination of what all of those things would be if you kind of swirled them up and threw them up in the air.
I was looking at the show notes, and I noticed that it said Detroit or Chicago when I first played you, and then now, obviously, I know you're based in New York. So something kind of happened. You obviously moved. Is there a different vibe in the different cities where you've been then?
Yeah, I mean, Detroit is so small, you know, like Detroit is such a purely musical city. I think the closest thing in England would probably be Manchester, maybe, but London's got a lot of hype. London's like New York, you know, a lot of hype, and a lot of everyone thinks they're the greatest band in the world. And then, Detroit, everyone kind of knows everyone. I mean, the White Stripes, Jack White used to sell me records when I was 13. You know, like he was the biggest dick I knew in Detroit. We'll be right back.
Marvellous to talk to Syed from the Bavarian Drug Lords there. That was recorded in April 2009 and the track was called Gold Soul. And you can still find them at the BavarianDrugLords.bandcamp.com, although that particular track isn't at that site. And Syed, of course, has another alter ego. He's actually a famous surgeon in New York. So well, I'm not going to say what his real name is. I think he wants to keep that, those two parts of his life separate. But bloody marvellous chap he is. Later in 2009, just a month later in May, we were at the Great Escape and we met up with Betty and the Werewolves.
So we're at the Hope upstairs. It's as usual very, very warm, and we're with Betty and the Werewolves. And where do we have? Fantastic.
Authentic
howling. And your names?
I'm Laura, and I sing and play bass.
Right.
And I'm Emily, I play guitar and I sing a bit as well.
Cool.
You sing a lot.
And you've just got your singles out here, and you
yes.
giving them on purple vinyl and pink vinyl, which is amazing.
Vinyl.
Yeah. So why that? Why in vinyl?
Oh, it's a format we love. But a lot of old formats are coming back. Like, a few friends of ours have done some cassette tapes.
Yes,
so,
yes.
It's all coming back.
Well, we're living in the same. My record collection's still on vinyl because most of it's stolen from my parents.
Oh, right.
We did it so that it would fit in my record collection.
Is that another member of your band?
Yes, it's Helen.
Helen Wolf.
Come and say hello, Helen.
What's going on?
We're doing a little interview.
What's going on?
So,
trying to find my sparkle in the bottom of my handbag, but I can't find it anywhere.
So what do you play, Helen?
Guitar and keyboard.
Right, so where's your drummer then? He must have a drummer somewhere. So
he's on the telephone.
On the telephone.
That makes a change.
Betty and the Werewolves, or the track called Houston Station, soundcloud.com/ Betty and the Werewolves is where you'll still find them. Recorded in May 2009, marvellous, and thoroughly enjoyed having a chat to them. The same Great Escape Festival, we saw an artist called Skinton Demoralised, and amazingly he's coming back this year in 2019, so 10 years after we saw him. It'll be very interesting to see how he's turned out. This is Skint and Demoralised.
We're here with Matt from Skint and Demoralised, second gig of the day. How do you feel, mate?
I feel on top of the world, to be honest, mate.
Yeah?
Because the music's quite difficult to get across to people in terms of, it started out as poetry, and it's spoken word on top of music, and a lot of people are like, oh, it's like the streets are out to monkeys. But performing tonight on my own, it kind of helped get the message across that it is just me and it's my lyrics and that's what it's all about,
right.
And it's about the story.
Right.
And it kind of helped draw people in and kind of pay attention to what Skint and Demoralised is all about. So.
Right.
I've come to this, it's the biggest new music festival in Europe, and I've shown people what I'm doing, and they like it, so I feel very, very happy.
This is our third year here doing this,
right?
And every year we find one act
that we think is fucking fantastic. And right. you're it. So this, this,
well,
this,
I'm very honoured. When I saw John Cooper Clarke do his performance poetry, it's like, right, that's it. Yeah. That's how I get into music.
What about John McClure and that reference then?
John McClure actually introduced me to John Cooper Clarke. Basically, right. I was 16 years old, I started doing politics at college, and you know, when you're really passionate and you really and obviously McClure is quite political, and I kind of come on to, he was kind of like an idol for me, he was kind of like an older brother, and the name Skimp and Demoralised was always just my name on his forum, so I stuck to the name when I started doing poetry, and it's kind of just stuck since then.
I went into a bar one night, and I saw this girl, and she was absolutely gorgeous. So I finished off my pint, and I tried looking cool. And then I'm whacked in the back by a guy playing pool. The DJ's playing shit, but I know I've got to dance, cause this girl on my hill keeps on giving me a glance. So I push through the crowd, I try and get a little closer, try and start a conversation. I think I've got a mate who knows her, but halfway through the bar it seems I've caught someone's attention, and it's not the kind you crave, not the kind you like to mention. It's the kind of look that shits you up in so many different ways. It's the size of his eyes and he won't give up, transfixed with a piercing gaze. I can get the gist, this guy's pissing. If I don't move, he'll use his fist. See that the violence stops, see that the violence stops. But this girl keeps looking over, and I might just have a chance. So I cling to my four-leaf clover, and I carry on trying to dance. I feel a tap on my shoulder, and for some reason turn round. His head feels like a boulder, and it knocks me to the ground. The room has started spinning, and my mouth filled up with blood. I saw him stood there grinning, and did the only thing that I could. I crawled down the road for a taxi, and the taste in my mouth was rancid. And who's in the queue before me? Some guy with that girl I fancy. The next thing I heard was sirens, and there were nothing for me to gain. I was fed up of all this violence, and his image was trapped in my brain. It's the kind of look that shits you up in so many different ways. It's the signs of his eyes and he won't give up, transfixed with a piercing gaze. I can get the gist, this guy's pissed, and if I don't move, he'll use his fist. See that the violence stops, see that the violence stops. So I get home and I clean up my mouth, and it looks like I'm gonna need stitches. But just like a typical bloke, the first thing I do is take pictures. So it takes them all night, but it's sorted. And the next job's to go to the cops. I'll make sure that bastard's reported, and see that the violence stops, and see that the violence stops, and see that the violence stops, and see that the violence stops. Stop. It's the kind of look that shits you up in so many different ways. It's the size of his eyes and he won't give up, transfixed with a piercing gaze. I can get the gist, this guy's pissed, and if I don't move, he'll use his fist. See that the violence stops, see that the violence stops. It's the kind of look that shits you up in so many different ways. It's the size of his eyes and he won't give up, transfixed with a piercing gaze. I can get the gist, this guy's pissed, and if I don't move, he'll use his fist. See that the violence stops, see that the violence stops. And see that the violence stops, and see that the violence stops. And see that the violence stops, and see that the violence stops.
Skint and Demoralised is where you'll find you'll find him in soundcloud.com/ Skint and Demoralised. Matt Abbott, as he's really known. That was a track called Olivia. And we recorded that in May 2009. But as I said, he's coming back. So, maybe we'll get a chance to have a chat with him again. Who knows? We'll wait and see. Now, moving on to 2010. Another good year for interviewing. I went to... The Inn on the Green, which is a surprisingly strange title considering it's a pub underneath the Westway, which is a massive viaduct in London. And I went to see Dub Matics and Citizen Sound and Mighty Howard and some other people, not least Prince Blanco, who had put together a new dubby version of tracks by The Clash. It was called Shatter the Hotel, and it had just come out, and it was my first opportunity to meet meet up with Dub Mattox, my only opportunity to meet up with Dub Mattox actually, but I couldn't resist, so I went to have a chat with him and his mate, Citizen Sound.
So now I'm outside once again, and I've got Dub Mattox and Citizen Sound with me. How are you doing, guys? How you doing? How you doing? We've talked so many times on email and Facebook and all this little stuff. It's nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you as well. You know, it's last night we did a show in Bournemouth.
Yeah.
With DJ Dapper Dan, who again is another internet connection. So
okay.
Now twice.
Excellent.
In 24 hours, so it's great.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. So you've how do you get involved in this project?
Through Prince Blanco. He's a friend of ours in Toronto. We're all up there. We've been doing the Dub Collective, which is a group of about 9 DJs that go out and play different styles of music at clubs. All headed up by Aaron from Citizen Sound and his buddy Saucily. And he came up with the idea and basically said to every one of us, pick a track that you like that was written by Joe Strummer and contribute it.
Did you pick first?
I did, actually.
How did I tell?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of cherry-picked that one, right?
Yeah. So you got London Calling, and you got Don Less to sing on it as well.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I love the track, man. I absolutely love the beat. And especially I love the way that, you know, it goes off at the end and the 12-inch mix into a completely new vibe. Yeah. I just love it.
You know what? London Calling, I grew up with that. I bought those records at the time and loved it. And it just kind of happened that Don was playing some stuff of mine, like month previous, and he was in contact with Prince Blanco, and then I was in contact with him, got the song done, then one night I'm laying in bed going, it'd be great if Don would be on this.
Yeah.
Approached him, he said, absolutely, I'll do it, and he ended up recording with Dan Donovan from Big Audio Dynamite, and because he was doing that, I said, Dan, would you like to contribute? He said yes, so he's on the track as well, so, you know, I couldn't be happier,
Absolutely amazing. Amazing stuff. So, how did you get involved, sir?
Same idea. Prince Blanco, again, working with him a lot. He brought the project up to me and said we'd be interested in contributing. And for myself, how I knew Clash was Sandinista, that album.
Yes.
Right? And beyond that, I knew a little bit of their music, but not as much. But I really knew that album. So I was like, well, you know what? I'd love to do one more time. I know it's already been dubbed out. Mikey Dread wrote it.
If you could,
But I said, let me try it in a kind of a different perspective, you know, bring it to the 20th century.
You know, I would say, if I was to pick two tracks that actually I love the most, it's those two. So I'm obviously in tune with yours.
I saw you nodding out.
top, so man them can see. Climate a change and things rearrange, no one can agree. With a flick of a knife, you could lose your life and no one would see. There's trouble and strife, you can't tell your wife, it's redundancy. Politicians are crooks, they're cracking the books, but they cannot hide. Don't make no sense to sit on the fence, you have to decide. The culture is lame and fame is a game, but celebrity bling is the thing, but truncheon are swinging this century. Respect and trust have bitten the dust for woman and man. Gotta get wise and open your eyes and do what you can. At the top of the dial, will you give me a smile or draw another breath? When battle comes down on over this town, the zombies are dead.
Silly.
time in the ghetto. One more time if you please. One more time to the dying man. One more time.
One more time, indeed. Two tracks, though, for you. After we had heard Dubmatics and Citizen Sound talking at the Inn on the Green in February 2010. The first track was London Calling, featuring Dawn Lett and Dan Donovan, with the original interpretation by Dubmatics. And then One More Time, featuring Prince Blanco by Citizen Sound. Both tracks, of course, originally by The Clash. The first from London Calling, the second from Sandinista. Two of my favourite albums by the band. Absolutely wonderful stuff and great to talk to them. And I also met up with a guy I'd never heard of before. Well, let me tell you more about him. Or let him tell you more about him.
My name is Howard, the Mighty Howard.
Mighty Howard. Okay, and are you doing what with this project?
I met Dubmatics last year on his summer tour. I appeared one night from the advice of a mutual friend that I come down and sing.
Cool.
Well, I came down to see his music, and our friend is a little pushy, so he said, hey, you should work with this guy. Since then, we've done, this is our second tour.
Yeah.
We've recorded 6 songs together. 7 songs. One has been released with 5 more to come.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself then?
I am.
What do you call home now then?
Home? I have a song. I may speak with an American tongue, but most of me is African. Eyes of an African, West Indian, Jamaican. I roam this world as a human beyond. I roam this world as a Rasta man. Why? 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 Call it a warrior, please send an answer. Chanting to testify, I'm alone, must justify.
The marvellous Mighty Howard, and it's the first time, and actually the only time I've ever been sung to in an interview. Recorded in February 2010 at the same gig with Dubmatics and Citizen Sound. And after that, we heard a track which Dubmatics and Mighty Howard and Old Dub put together in Berlin, called the Berlin Sessions. The track was called Warrior Call, and you can find out more about Mighty Howard at myspace.com/TheMightyHoward. Excellent stuff. Right, let's move on to a band of youngsters, really youngsters, including my next door neighbour, my previous next door neighbour from one of my houses previously. He was still at school in a band called Vinyl Chord, and I went and have a chat with them as they were performing.
Right, so I'm outside the Dirty South, and I'm with the boys themselves, Vinyl Chord. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How many gigs have you done so far?
Oh, probably this is our fifth, sixth, seventh, in London.
Yeah, I mean, we played other places as well, but we're mainly around London.
Okay, yeah.
Cool, cool. And how long have you actually been together now?
Oh, 2008. So
about 2, maybe 3 years.
Wow. So has there been a big change in your sound as you've been sort of, you know, getting it together?
Oh yeah, I mean, you get, like, seriously, writing a song now is incredibly easier than it used to be, because you kind of just know how to get into it. You start to understand the formula of how to write a song,
and we know what genre we're going for a lot more.
Yeah, you kind of understand your sound more. Yeah.
So describe your genre then.
Oh, indie alternative. Well, I don't know, sometimes we're wrong.
It's quite hard to describe yourself when you're trying to define yourself.
And who's your influences? Because I mean, I think I've got a few ideas of who your influences are. And I said it to Wiggins here, but he didn't know who they were. So
there's definitely a Morrissey in
there. Oh, yeah, I'm a big...
quite like Maccabees, almost Vampire Weekend and everything. Right. Quite Bombay Bicycle Club.
Yeah. In terms of vocals, my inspiration's taken from Ian Curtis and Morrissey, I'd say.
Right.
I kind of tried to combine the two.
But with a bit of a happier side.
Oh yeah, no, without a doubt.
So
yeah.
Far.
Last night in my dream, a prophet came to me. He said, move on, boy, you've got to move on. He said, move on, boy, you've got to move on. He swept me off my feet. He gave a life to me. He said, move on, boy, you've got to move on. He said, move on, boy, you've got to move on. Boy.
Final Chord there, and the main man behind that, or the main man singing in that, is Mr. Wiggins, who was 18 at the time, and the bass player, Dylan, who was the son of my next door neighbour at one point. So yeah, they were only 18, and that possibly even a bit younger, some of them, at that moment in time. The track was called Prophet. You can still find them at myspace.com /Vinyl Chord Band. That was recorded in February 2010. Mr. Wiggins, of course, has gone on to form other bands at university and then on since then, and he's now got a band called Silent Forum, which are based out of Cardiff in Wales, where he went to university, and are still, you know, still together and still doing good stuff. Right, let's move on to February 2010, and I had a phone interview, a Skype interview, with a certain gentleman called Dave Almgren, known to everybody else as Void.
Hello, Pete. How are things?
Oh, things are very well. It's nice to talk to you.
Ah, the same to you.
It's been a long time since we started collaborating together. I was actually doing a bit of work, and I had a look at my website. And the first track I played from you was the 11th of April 2008.
Wow.
Space Sponge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was quite a while ago, but I really do appreciate your support in this. And also, I think that you was one of the absolute first podcasts ever to feature any of my songs.
Well, I was wondering about that, because I had a look at your albums, and I was just noticed that Space Sponge came out in March 2007. So did you sort of go for a while without getting involved with podcasts then?
Yeah, the whole thing with when I started with the Space Sponge album, it was... I didn't really know where I was heading at the time. I wanted to compose and write music. I know that for sure because I've been doing it for so long. But I didn't know exactly what I was going to do with an album. So I made the music and then went, okay, so now what? And I ended up in all these, some good, some bad sites on the internet, you know. And I think you and I connected on MySpace or something like that. So I didn't really have a plan. And then it just... all came together and people start recognizing what I was doing. I was like, oh, this is cool, let's continue.
How did you actually sort of get into the whole business of producing music in the first place then?
Oh, started ages ago. This was back in the 80s, you probably remember.
thank you.
I was 14 years old when I bought my first synthesizer. I became a member of a school band. And around that time, if you remember the old Axel Foley, we actually played one of the tracks, well, the Axel F track in school. And it was great fun, and I stood there hammering on the keyboard, you know, playing this bass line. Rather tedious. And from then on, it just went downhill, so to say, because I just got totally hooked on it. So we broke up that band, as you usually do when you quit school and all that stuff, and I continued with a friend, and, you know, moved to the next school, met a new friend, that is Ulf. And we started playing together, I think it was in 1987. It was in the Easter break, and I think we made like 15 tracks in a week or something like that. It was amazing. And we had some concerts and stuff, and it was all for fun, you know, teens.
Mm-hmm.
And we got more serious going onwards and had a number of other bands trying out things. And some worked, some didn't.
We'll be right back.
was a track called Red Turns to Blue and by Void, and you can find Void at void.bandcamp.com. That's V-O-I-D-E, featuring Pixie Guts. And of course Pixie Guts is based out of Australia or New Zealand, I think it's Australia. So the two never actually met, and in the longer part of the interview I was discussing how they were sort of transferring information back and forth and all that sort of stuff. And of course, if you bear in mind that some of these interviews were recorded from way back in 2006, when, you know, MySpace was the only place where you could share music, and there wasn't as much sort of dial-up as there was broadband. There was dial-up in a lot of places, and it was kind of still quite difficult to get access to certain things. And sharing music across the internet was not the sort of thing that it is today. But interesting. Anyway, that was as I said, Red Turns to Blue by Void. And then a little bit later in September 2010, our last interview of this first section, we met up with Mr. Rowley Cutler. Yes, from Dark Compass. He's always a laugh.
We're celebrating, aren't we, this weekend? Is it this weekend? We're celebrating a couple of things.
Yeah. We've got Made in the UK show 100. It's been a long time coming. We've been doing it for almost 3 years, mate. I mean, it's great. It's been really good getting these things together. And of course Amped New Music as well, that's on show 250 now, so they're all sort of coming together, all these celebratory shows.
Not quite as old as Peter Pillar, although 250, that's probably even older than him, isn't it, really? Just about. Not long before the Sheffield Pod Crawl.
That's right, yeah. It's what was it, the 13th of October, isn't it? I can never remember. And I did the promo for
rail
it.
Rail ticket now, so I'll be in Sheffield on the 23rd, even if it's just me. So just for the day, you know. Hopefully I'll meet up with a few others and we'll have a bit of a laugh. But no clue there. He's going to be in New York, apparently.
Yes.
I'll try and catch up with him, and then try and catch up with Irk in Sydney. So this is going to be fun, I think. This is going to be fun. If not impossible, but fun. But,
well, we're hoping that we'll find locations with internet connections and things, because I have the knack of finding pubs and things without them, so it would make a change if
yes.
Dave and Caroline find a couple with. Bye.
The darkness makes me sharper. It feels more like a game. And in the shadows where it's darker is what I like to play. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm a child of the light. But in the day I lose sharpness. And in the night time I feel bright.
So we had Mr. Rolly Cutler before that, having a chat to us about the pod calls that we've done, and it was very interesting because we have done a few very good pod calls, even including one up in Sheffield, which was rather good. Mostly in London, but rather good anyway. Darkcompass.com is where you'll find Rolly, because he started in December 2004, and unlike me coming up to 600, he's coming up to 900 episodes pretty soon, so definitely worth checking out. Used to be a fairly eclectic mix, now mostly into metal, but before he was mostly into metal, he played a final farewell podcast, as it were, which featured that track, Bats, by My Toys Like Me, a band he got me into, and rather good they were too. myspace.com/mytoyslikeme. Right, I hope you've enjoyed part one. Come back next week for part two of BCP 600, where the music and mumblings goes on from 2011 until the present day. See you soon, folks.